Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real as Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Paige Yates
and Taylor Yates.
And in this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team.
All right, Mom, how are you doing?
Good. Now that summer has wound down and we're facing the fall, I'm getting excited and trying to figure out things to do this fall. And I'm really excited because I just made reservations to go out to Seattle, Washington for a couple reasons, to visit family and friends and to go see a UW football game, which should be fun. And I haven't been out on the West Coast for a long time, so it'll be fun to go. It's a long way to go, but I'm looking forward to it. So that'll be fun. Kind of thinking about things to do now that the summer is over and what other fun things we can, places we can go.
I know, right? It's kind of, so September's a nice time of year in New England, right? It's still kind of warm, but the leaves are starting to turn. It's really pretty. But you know, you're just starting to, get into a different rhythm, right? It's not quite, the dog days of summer anymore.
Yeah. And you haven't started thinking about going to a warm place.
Right.
You're thinking about, you know, people that you haven't seen maybe for a long time. I have a good friend in Nashville that I'm hoping to go see and places that I may not have been and have always wanted to go. And it's kind of exciting to think that some weekend I could do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, cool. So this month we've been talking about, you know, back to school. And this week we're talking about shared spaces and specifically how can you make these shared spaces work during a busy school year? So let's start with how can families make a balanced environment that accommodates both work and relaxation during the school year? And if you want, I can take the lead on this one because, again, I live in a smaller house than you. I utilize spaces. You know, all my spaces are multi-purpose. You know, I think the big part is setting boundaries with your kids and being like, there are times when we can be loud and noisy and roughhousing, and there's times that we cannot be. And then the same thing goes for spaces. So like sometimes if I've got to get on a Zoom call for work and my son and daughter want to go like bananas, like you guys can go do that downstairs in the basement playroom, not upstairs where I'm currently working. And then, you know, I'll get off that call. And then if they want to bring it upstairs, I'm like, that's fine. I'll just tune you guys out. And then when kids have to do work or homework, which my son has to do, you know, doing the same thing for him, being like, what space do you want to be in to be productive?
I also think, too, that what I've realized over doing this for 35 years is that the definition of spaces, the original definition of spaces and homes has changed. So rooms like the living room and the formal dining room.
Oh, gosh. Insofar as they exist anymore. Right? I mean, in high-end houses, they do.
They might. But in many of the homes that where people are living there actively, they may change the usage of a room to accommodate a certain age group. For instance, it may be that you have a living room that doubles as a family room. You might have a basement that isn't gourmet, but it is perfect for toddlers or eight-year-olds or paint or whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
So people—
We call, by the way, we call our downstairs, our basement playroom, the rec room, because you can wreck it.
Right. That's good. But I think people have to think outside the box in their homes where we once used to say, that's the office, that's the dining room, that's the living room, and that's the kitchen. Those spaces are not singular anymore. And I do think that there are lots of tools out there that you can use to make spaces double or better. For instance, your basement. We had a basement where we were in an, I have a 1908 house. The basement has a rock foundation. So
Fieldstone.
Fieldstone foundation.
That's a fancy word for it.
Fieldstone, And, you know, there was, when we first moved there, I had three young kids and I got one of the local firemen to finish off a space so the kids could have a playroom. And it's indestructible. It was not hugely expensive to build. And it's wonderful. Now it's a gym as the kids have gotten older and they're not there and I want a gym. So it's changed usages.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the most important thing. So maybe when your kids are little, you don't have a formal dining room. You actually have a study room or an office for the parents during the day. And at nighttime, the kids use it as a study room.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have, as I mentioned kind of earlier, you might use flat surfaces to kind of identify a workspace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I can remember when your brother had the cell project in sixth grade. He had mm-hmm. to build a cell. Well, I mean, we were in the living room, we were mm-hmm. in the kitchen, you know, we were all over the house trying to create something. And mm-hmm. I think the traditional names for rooms is not necessarily applied year in for every
year. In this
year.
Day and age, yeah.
You just have to look at a space and say, what can it best do for me?
Right. Right, exactly. You know, portability, I think, is also an important piece of managing these spaces because, yeah, sometimes, especially for projects that take multiple days, sometimes you want to work in the kitchen. Sometimes you want to work in the living room. And, you know, especially for kids' projects during the school year, you know, like that's how my kids do their Legos. I give them a cookie sheet. You know, they got to do it on there because I don't want to pick up each individual piece every time they want to press pause on a building project.
Right.
So I just lift up the whole thing and put up on a shelf. And the same thing goes for like school projects where you actually have to like assemble anything where you have to assemble something. You can create a portable solution with like just like everyday items around the home.
Also, too, like as your kids get older and you have projects that involve, you know, more mechanical stuff or painting mm-hmm. or whatever, it's nice to have a space in your basement that, you know, yeah, you've got a concrete floor. It's not going to be the end of the world if mm-hmm. they spill a little bit on the concrete floor.
Right.
And so it's using spaces that you wouldn't think to use
right.
a little bit more creatively.
Right.
And short term sometimes.
And, you know, by the way, when you sell your house, this is something you can think about where you might have to highlight for people who are touring your home how much flexibility there is and how you live in this space. Because a lot of times when people see a house, they sort of like, they see living room, they see kitchen, they see dining room. And like, that's all their brain processes. But then when you can use like clever staging or rearrange your own furniture to show like, hey, this is like actually how it gets used, you can actually drive a lot of value for your home and get people to say like, oh, you get comments on the flow of your home when people feel like spaces flex into different activities.
Well, and I think, you know, the typical old living room, the formal living room, I mm-hmm. guess is the word. So many people I see today making that into a home office because so many buyers today not only want 3 or 4 bedrooms, but they're saying we need 2 work from home offices.
Right.
And sometimes they need a quieter space or a space where they can be alone and not, you know, involved with their children.
Right.
So it's complicated. So we're using rooms differently mm-hmm. and redefining them as the age of our family dictates.
Totally. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back with the mailbag. Did you know that Paige and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs too. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today. All right. So, Paige, what is the best part about being a real estate agent?
100% meeting the people that I've met over the years.
I agree. It's so cool to come into somebody's life when they're making a really big decision because A, they just like spill their guts to you and you really get to know them and you get to the satisfaction of feeling like you really helped somebody set themselves up for whatever happens like the next 5+ years in their life.
It's to me a gift that I didn't realize I was going to be getting when mm-hmm. I started in this business.
Yeah,
I've got relationships that I've had for 30 years from people that I've worked with in the very beginning to and even now and later on and
mm-hmm.
It's interesting. I recently asked one of my clients who I had sold multiple houses for and found over the years, including rentals when they first moved here.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them why they were using me. We were going downtown looking at apartments, I mean condos and stuff. And she said, you know, the reason I use you everywhere I go, including she looked at a house in Florida and she called me to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
The refrigerator wasn't working and she wanted to know whether to back out of the deal. So she was calling me because she couldn't reach her real estate agent.
Right.
And she said, you know, I know two things about you. One, I utterly trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I know that if you don't know the answer, you will find it.
Right.
And that was pretty important to me to hear that because—
right. Especially the trust factor, right?
100%.
Like, you know, there's a lot of people— when you are buying a house, there are a lot of competing agendas, right, that inform the information that people share with you. So having a real estate agent that you trust to work on your behalf and do right by you is invaluable.
Correct. And the people that I've been blessed to meet over the years have made it such a great job.
Right. Well, thanks for the awesome question. If you're a curious cat and would like your question to be considered, you can just send us an email at contact@yatesboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yates Team Boston.
That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you like this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yates Team Boston or on the web at yatesboston.com.